Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 22, 2020. Francis Swansong. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, October 22, 2020. The protests following the beheading of Samuel Paty are Francis Swansong. Paty, a school teacher, was murdered for showing cartoons of Prophet Muhammad while teaching about free speech. According to BBC News, police raided some 40 homes following the attack, and the government also ordered a mosque to close for 6 months. It is far too little, far too late for France. The country is well on its way to becoming a Muslim caliphate. The Islamization of France did not begin recently. For decades, Muslims have been coming to France in search of a better life than the ones they had back home. Until approximately 2010, immigrants came mainly from what were once France's colonies. These countries were referred to as protectorates, as in the case of Tunisia and Morocco, or as part of metropolitan France, as with Algeria. Many French citizens settled in those colonies, and while the French enjoyed complete freedom, the locals were oppressed. After France retreated from the colonies, immigrants continued to stream into France as either cheap labor or as refugees seeking shelter from hunger and war. The French, for their part, implemented a policy of assimilation and encouraged immigrants to adopt the local language, culture, and faith, namely Christianity. But since roughly the mid-1980s, France changed its policy from assimilation to integration, and the new arrivals were allowed to retain their distinctive cultures and traditions. That decision backfired. Immigrants did not merge into the French society successfully and largely remained strangers, with their own culture and their own religion, and a clash of civilizations began. In the early years of this century, France acknowledged its mistake and reinstalled a policy of assimilation, but the wheel could not be turned back. In the second decade of the 21st century, immigration to France grew extensively, mainly from war-ravaged countries such as Iraq, Syria, Libya, and others, and the French had no power to stop it. Despite persistent warnings of the ramifications of unchecked immigration of radical Islamists, France remained hospitable to them, and they have rewarded it with death and terror. France has given up retaking many of its cities and neighborhoods, which have become no-go zones for non-Muslims. French author Pascal Bruckner stated after the murder of Samuel Paty, "This is not an act of separatism, it is a declaration of war that must be dealt with accordingly." However, the French people have no fighting spirit left in them. Even though they are by far the majority in their country, they feel powerless and helpless before their domineering guests. Italian journalist Giulio Miotti, who often writes on Middle Eastern issues, recently wrote on the Gatestone Institute website, describing the current situation in France. "France's elites fail to understand the ideological war that the enemies of open societies have declared on them." Another French author, Elizabeth Badinter, wrote, "Here is the continuity of our submission. I am convinced that if we had known how to say no, we would not be here." They all bowed their heads out of fear of appearing racist or out of patronage. Indeed, the French are unable to resist the takeover by Muslim fundamentalism. They have succumbed to their former subjects, but mainly to their skepticism about their way of life and principles. They no longer holler "Vive la République." They want peace and quiet, but they will not get it. They will be forced to change their churches into mosques, their democracy into a caliphate, and their lives from freedom to oppression. The wheel of fate has turned on them, and the rulers are about to become subjects. It will not happen overnight, but the process has already crossed the point of no return. We are witnessing the crumbling of one of the pillars of the Western world. And what is even more daunting is the thought that France today is Germany tomorrow, and so will be the rest of Western Europe. My thoughts on Twitter, October 22, 2020. If I am corrected and look not from the perspective of egoism, but from the perspective of the will to bestow, then I love the creatures not for their animate qualities, but for the Creator's light. If I see that the friends contain a part of the Creator, they all belong to one field blessed by the Creator, and they all carry the Creator inside of them. The Creator does not want to reveal himself to me instantly, but hides behind different images of this world. If through them, I learn to have a good attitude to others, as a result I'll attain bestowal to the Creator. In reality the Creator isn't behind them, but inside of them. The creatures help me attain the intention of for the sake of bestowal to the Creator. Caring for others is opposite to my egoistic nature. But I can change myself by overcoming the degrees of still, vegetative, animate, and human until I start treating all of them with love. I will reveal that it wasn't the creatures, but the Creator who was concealed from me so that I would build the right intention of bestowal. To check the intention, one must take one's attention away from the immediate action, so it becomes unimportant, and the main thing becomes, for whose sake am I performing this action, and whom does it benefit? This determines whether I'm in the Creator's world or in my own world, in my own shell. The essence of an action is measured by the intention. The intention to bestow more brings a person closer to the Creator, and the intention to receive more distances him from the Creator. In the middle there is a neutral point of zero, from which a person decides where he will be, in the spiritual world or the corporeal one. A person is cured only when he helps the friends, when he cares about curing them and not himself. Then he really can conquer any problem. We have absorbed all the cultures. We won't be allowed to gather as one nation, until we wish for all the nations to gather together until we think of others, and then, precisely for this sake, we correct ourselves and thus will be able to thrive in every regard, if we care for everyone to thrive. From Twitter, October 22, 2020. New Life 1282. Management and Professionalism versus Difficulties in Interpersonal Relations.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on our show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. We can't hear you. Hello, hello.
Hello,
Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we will try to study or talk about a study case and how can we approach it from the integral point of view. And the study case today we'd like to ask about, from your perspective, the integral perspective, has to do with relationships at work. I'd like for Nitza to present the situation, and please. So, we're talking about a company, high-tech company. There are about 100 employees. It's not a very big company, but, you know, it's a pretty big company. And there's the CEO. There are five managers, senior managers, and each of them has a department of about 20 workers. And today we'd like to talk about one of the senior managers. So, like we said, there is the CEO. There's the CEO, there's the Deputy Director General, about four deputy director generals. There are four general managers, and one of them is a very brilliant manager. His department is doing great, but people, it's very hard for them to cooperate with him, to work with him, because his attitude in general is, I know everything, I understand everything, I'm really good. And it's very hard for him to listen to other people's opinions. And on the one hand, yeah, he's brilliant. On the other hand, he doesn't allow people to realize themselves. He's very domineering, in short. And so there is a situation here that we'd like to see. We'd like to look at it from all angles, both from his perspective. How does he see this? Because on the one hand, he's aware of it. You know, his manager talked to him about it. His employees talked to him about it. It's something that he knows. He's aware of it. So we'd like to take a look at this from the perspective of management, from the perspective of the employees, and in general to try and understand what is the right way to work with this. So maybe before we get into the questions, the situation itself, when you look at it, how would you analyze it through integral eyes? First of all, I'd see the product. Is it good for their business? Maybe they're building a ship. Maybe they're building an airplane. Something that's really unique, important, and then that person, he's very special too, and he has his own point of view, and he doesn't want to hear anything else, or even if he does, but after he listens, he doesn't take that into account, and therefore, to me it seems that here you have to see the well-being of the business. What's to the benefit of the business? Is it prospering? And we're all happy about it. And nonetheless, above him, there are other managers, the vice presidents that are happy with him in this department. So maybe he's a military person, that this is how he relates to everyone. He has a very clear opinion, and he's brilliant, and he's great. And he's directing everyone else for them to realize his ideas. I'd respect him, if so. And there are businesses that aren't made for a single opinion, but many opinions. Suppose we have to develop something unknown. There's a kind of concept, but, you know, it's more or less somewhere there in the air. So we need many opinions and many jumps and many things. So that's something else. That's a different approach. Okay, so first of all, as a first stage, to see what is that field that the company's engaged in. Right. Meaning if they're developing something, he really works in a high-tech company, and we know that these companies are all about developing things. So let's really relate to this as this is the option. He works in a high-tech company. I'm sure that he can't be any other way. Like you said, he's already after his 50s. He's in his 50s. I feel him, I see him, and maybe he can't change himself. So either to give him a small department where he'll work in a way where he will only realize his own ideas, or I don't know. I understand him. In practice, where are their ideas that he rejected, that he did not allow them to be realized? Was his intention to really stop others? Or is he examining these ideas and, in his opinion, it's not good enough in order to come instead of his idea? So first of all, to check out the facts. Of course, you know that many want to be managers instead of him. That's clear. That's good. as long as it doesn't create a mess or something. I wanted to ask about the type of people like that person. Why do they behave the way that they do? That he's brilliant and smart, that's obvious. But why do they behave this way in their interactions with other people? Because he's certain, he's sure of what he's doing, he has proof, he has credit. And this is how he is, by character too. If you don't want him to be that way, you'll have to maybe fire him. Maybe he's incapable of working under someone in any other way. The problem isn't even about him not being able to work under someone else. He gets along with his managers. The problem begins with the people, with his employees. In his department, there are 20 people. Because it's a high-tech company, to bring someone talented and to bring him to work in your company, that's the most difficult thing. Many people want to work. There are many projects. To find the most talented people and to bring them to your business, this is the big problem of CEOs nowadays. Now, there were 20 people brought to his department, very skilled people, talented. Their emotional state is very difficult because most of them are, they don't come happily to work in the morning. They don't jump on every project willingly. So maybe there they need another one or two people that will make a group out of these people and that will give a special spirit that will direct all employees and that this is how they'll behave correctly. And maybe this something that he can't do himself, but he should have such people around him. So may, and if we find these kinds of people that you're saying, take this department where you have this talented manager, but that he has problematic relationships with other people, and make out of them something that feels like a group. It's like in the army. Like, you have the big boss, and next time there's someone who's responsible for the spirit, for the mood. Okay, if we want to take, what spirit should there be between them? The director has to be practical. He has to demand work. He has to demand them to work according to a plan. He has to demand employee production. But besides that, he can't make sure or take care of their mood, group spirit, that they're sensitive, that they treat each other fairly or something like that. He's not that way himself. So next to him, there should be other people that they take care of the group spirit. When you call them a group, you include only these 20 people or him as a manager too? Maybe not. Maybe only these 20. I don't know if it's possible to break him, to pull him, to bend him, to do something about him. Suppose he knows, he knows only how to do the technical stuff. So I have to take orders from him, how to do whatever I have to technically do. And for these orders to be realized in a good, nicely connected group on a social level and so on. Above this manager, we have this manager, he has 20 employees. Above him, there's the higher level, where you have the vice presidents. Now, if you look at this, the CEO and the vice presidents, the president and the vice presidents, now, from the point of view of the CEO, he has 5 departments, and in one of them, there's a problem. The problem is the relationship between the manager and his employees. So, as a CEO, on the one hand, you're afraid of losing him because he's very talented. On the other hand, you see that under him, no one's developing. People aren't working with joy. They can't bring they can't really, you know, realize themselves. How would you integrate all of this? I don't know. Maybe I'm that way too.
יש לי שאלה.
כן.
כשאנחנו מסתכלים, הצעת קודם רעיון יפה.
Previously, he said to bring in someone who would build team spirit. So are we only talking about the social spirit, or that he'll make them more creative, they'll yield more, they'll be able to express their talents better? How could that work?
אני לא יודע, אתם כנראה אישים מתייעצים.
I don't know. You're probably consulting the wrong person.
אנחנו לומדים בחוכמת הקבלה שמצד אחד אנחנו מקבלים פקודות מ...
In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we learn that on the one hand we get orders from above, from the higher force, from nature, that dictates to us what we have to do. On the other hand, the implementation of these orders depends only on the measure of our connection, emotionally, socially, up to the point of love, up to the point where we reach love in our relationships. And we understand that what we have to actually achieve is connection between us. And as it's written, love covers all crimes, that we have to actually overcome all obstacles. But this is what we produce. We have a department that is entirely that they connect into one body, and each has to see how can he complete, supplement all the others, and how their connection will be above them, that they build some kind of a higher image. That doesn't exist, but this image is called connection, love, devotion, responsibility, mutual responsibility and guarantee, and all that is above all of them. This is what they build. This is what for them is called the manager of their department, and accordingly they act. Again, the manager of the department is not a person, but it's the spirit that they create between them. Okay. Now, this is exactly what we wanted to understand, because actually, you're right, we can ask, any professional, we can ask them these questions, but this is not what we want to ask you about. But exactly from the perspective,
ולראות איך אנחנו בונים באמת, לוקחים את ההייטק הזה, נגיד, את אותו מקום, הייטק.
Exactly. What we want to ask you about is from the perspective that no organizational consultant can see, but from the point of view of the integral world, where one wants to, will it help if we implement the integral principles there? Will it develop everyone else and so on? We want to look at this from a different point of view. So here, you have to create some kind of a higher goal that will be like the super goal for the workers and for that manager, and for them to understand that through their connection, the correct connection between them, they can achieve that goal. What could that goal be in our case? In your case, I don't know. Because they attain what they need, only they're not achieving what the workers want. It's a problem. They don't have one goal, all of them. So I can't advise anything. Does it depend on the character of the company, or is it a principle that's good for all companies to understand the spirit that you talked about? Every company, unless it puts a spiritual goal of development before itself, it always has a hard time to develop, and there are differences in opinion, and they cease to develop.
a company ceases to develop, and eventually it sees that, well, it collapses. So what should be the goal, the spiritual goal, as you called it? If we're talking about our example, we have a high-tech company with clear business goals, and you're saying that this isn't enough in order to fix all the different problems in relationships. Is there some kind of superior goal that, no, it's impossible unless that high-tech company will understand that their entire development has to be in order to reach some kind of spiritual achievement. Okay, what is that? That in the correct connection between them, regardless of maybe what they achieve in their corporeal work or success, but in the connection between them, they can attain a feeling of the essence of connection. That if we're talking about the essence of connection, then there they start feeling something that's above the company, above even the feeling of this world. It's a kind of force that elevates them ever higher. I think that this is exactly the force that they're lacking in that department, because they're all talented, the manager, his employees. But what's missing is a higher kind of spirit that will unite everyone, that will give them some common vision. You said previously that on the one hand we have the orders that come from above downwards. On the other hand, the implementation of these orders depends on the measure of connection. It seems like a line that comes from above down, bring down orders, but the implementation of the orders depends on the measure of connection, which feels like a circle. How do you combine this correctly? That this is actually where the collision is. Probably they don't lack connecting in a circle. Also, the managers that are above him don't feel a need for it. They feel that there is a problem, and they feel that it stops the organization's development. When the organization was small, it was no problem to have these five or six very talented people that pull everything. But now that they want to grow, it's a problem. You know, it's not black or white. They're not firing anyone. But it's far from being perfect, the situation. You have to start working with them to explain that every successful business in our world has to be an integral business, that now we understand how humanity is headed in that way of integrality too now. And besides building this cone type of structure, pyramid, where you have the manager at the top and everyone else at the bottom, we also need the structure of a sphere, of a circle, of a ball, that this is the only way that we can eventually advance. Eventually, our development, regardless of how it is or what it is, it leads us to a form of development which is like a ball, that there's no one that's at the top or someone at the bottom, but everyone's more or less equal, and everyone's working for the sake of some kind of common goal. And this is actually the direction that everyone has to understand, right? Because this is a very successful business on the one hand, but on the other hand, they can't develop any further. They can't break through. We've reached a certain point, and that's it. We stop there. One of the reasons probably is the fact that there is no one force that can break through. There's even a kind of stagnation due to this very talented person. And so if we can look at the breakthrough, because this is very interesting, how do we make the breakthrough? How do we break the glass ceiling from the perspective of that? If we understand something, if we look at things from a different perspective, we'll be able to break into something greater. I don't share your opinion. You think that there could be some kind of method that will turn this manager into something else than he is, and I don't think that he can change. And therefore, it's not a matter of changing our approach to work. We have to only change the attitude between the workers themselves, so they'll connect between them in a way that they'll feel that they're working in a circle, in a group, in a good, nice, correct group between them, besides the manager. And then their spirit will affect the manager, and then he himself will feel, or even if he won't feel it, he'll change. You're kind of doing something very interesting indirectly. There's something that you can't directly influence him. Yeah, we see that whatever we try doesn't work. He's like iron. Now you're saying, tackle the problem from a different angle. Start building a new spirit in his department of a group. This is why I'm saying that there has to be another manager besides him that's not responsible for the technical stuff, but for the group spirit. Okay, suppose I'd invite you to work with this department. There are people that are very bittered, especially because of that director. How do you start building their relationships? What do you start talking to them about? The correct relationships that there have to be in an integral society. That if we want to advance, this is how we have to be. For everyone to feel everyone, respect everyone, we have to be closer to each other. In short, to bring them all the laws, the rules of the 10, what we learn and try to implement. And of course, it doesn't matter how many people you have there, but, you know, it's called the 10. And that's how I'd build them. And then I'd see how their spirit that isn't related to the orders that he brings down on the department, but that their spirit affects him too, and for sure that it's going to work that way. It's like us, we live our life, and, you know, nature influences us, and we change too. Each of us is an egoist, not wanting to change anything, but to stick to what's mine. But how do we change nonetheless? Okay, I just understood. Suppose I'm his worker. I, as his worker, I thought that I can't continue developing, or I can't realize myself because of him, unless we change our relationships. And you disconnected him from that. You put him aside and you said you want to realize your potential and the potential of everyone else. Work between yourselves, and that you continue developing and growing. To the contrary, you're doing it in order to better realize his orders. It's not in collision with him, but your work, your work in connection in the group will affect him, and he will want to better suit the group. Dr. Leitman, our time's almost up. After everything said and done, what's the most important principle, integral principle, that we have to take from this discussion? That we're taking each and every part that we can, and we turn it into an integral part, and another one, and this is how we build the entire world. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best.
My new article on LinkedIn, I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am, said French philosopher René Descartes, and he was right. We are living in the world of thoughts. In fact, our entire world is a thought, and our perception of it keeps changing and evolving. As our perception changes, so does our world. We may not realize it, but we can control our thoughts, and in this way determine the kind of world we want to live in. Although our thoughts seem to come into our minds of their own accord, so to speak, they are actually a product of our environment. We absorb ideas and thoughts from people around us, social media, and every interaction we have with people, whether real or virtual. If the streams that create our thoughts projected positivity, we would become positive people. Although our thoughts seem to come into our minds of their own accord, so to speak, they are actually a product of our environment. We absorb ideas and thoughts from people around us, social media, and every interaction we have with people, whether real or virtual. If the streams that create our thoughts projected positivity, we would become positive people. Since they currently project negativity, ill will toward others, and promote concentration on ourselves, this is what we end up doing, and we end up thinking that the whole world is as selfish and as mean as the sources portray. These sources tell us that this is the real world, and if we want to present a more optimistic, considerate, or caring perspective, they tell us we are unrealistic and make us feel as though we are out of touch with reality. The truth, however, is that they simply want to keep pumping negative ideas into our minds, since fear and negativity benefit them. But they don't benefit us, and they are not the truth. The truth is that life could not exist without balance, without equilibrium between good and bad, negative and positive. Everything in life gives and receives. Every cell in our body loves the body it lives in and gives it all it can. In return, the body sustains and nourishes the cells in our body. We wouldn't be alive if this weren't so. The true reality is reciprocity and balance, but people think that ill will rules the world, a ruthless desire to receive, to take, to plunder and abuse. In fact, people are the only species in all of reality that's warped this way, and this makes us more miserable than any other being. So if we change what impacts us, and accept more balanced messages from the environment, we will change our thoughts. If we change our thoughts, we will change reality. This is all it takes to fix the world. My new article on LinkedIn on the merits of hypocrisy. If you make a list of the current weapons against COVID-19, you will be quite disheartened. All we have are the masks, social distancing, and our weapon of mass destruction, better known as closure. But people are sick of wearing masks, longing to close the distance between themselves and the people they love, and cannot stay indoors indefinitely, so none of these weapons really works. As a result, COVID-19 is not only spreading, but it is becoming increasingly aggressive and difficult to cure. We can change the way we feel by changing the way we behave. All it takes is mutual determination and the understanding that we have no choice, since COVID-19 is smarter and stronger than any of us, if we stand alone, but cannot beat us, if we act as one. There are rumors about vaccines, but nothing has been approved, and no one knows if and when it will happen. So much for conventional medicine fighting a non-conventional bug. Instead of uselessly struggling with the virus with inefficient instruments, we should remember what Einstein said: the significant problems we have cannot be solved at the same level of thinking with which we created them. He's right. We created this problem, and in fact all of our problems, with our egoistic, self-centered thinking. This is why only if we adopt an inclusive thinking, one that takes everyone into account rather than only ourselves, we will be rid of the virus and the rest of the problems plaguing the world. In fact, we can look at the virus as a teacher who forces us to change our thinking, our relation to each other. Against our will, COVID is teaching us how to build a more just and integral society. Look at what it's done so far. It's forced us to give out money, to realize that some people will never have jobs but we must still look after them. It's forced us to start thinking of the elders in our community and make sure they stay healthy and safe. It's forced us to accept that we are all responsible for one another, because anyone can spread the virus that may kill others even if we may not be affected whatsoever. In short, the virus is teaching us to think of one another. So if we think of one another, we won't need its teaching and we'll be virus free. You could argue that you can't think of others because it's insincere. That may be true, but how sincere are you when you smile at a salesperson in a store, when you say sorry if you bumped into someone on the street, or when you say have a good day? We see that we agree to insincerity as long as it serves our interests, but when we have to do something that does not seem rewarding, we promptly call sincerity to our defense. This double standard is the real insincerity. Since we are already insincere, let's put it to good use. Let's make the best of hypocrisy. Let's be nice even when we don't see the benefit of it, because if we do it together, we will change the atmosphere in our society and people will become genuinely nice. Let's pretend that we care, fake being kind, and let's do it all together. Chances are that in no time, everyone will be kind and caring. We can change the way we feel by changing the way we behave. All it takes is mutual determination and the understanding that we have no choice, since COVID-19 is smarter and stronger than any of us, if we stand alone, but cannot beat us, if we act as one. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are top Jewish values? Top Jewish values are those that originally united us, as a Jewish people. They are values initially established by Abraham and his group, who became known as the people of Israel, around 3,800 years ago. Abraham set the foundation for Jewish values of unification and mutual responsibility to spread among his group. Guided by such values, Abraham's group learned how to live harmoniously as a single unified nation. Today, such values have become less relevant in the eyes of many Jews, to a point where we are more like a cluster of separate groups, left versus right, religious versus secular, Ashkenazi versus Sephardi, to name a few, in a constant struggle against one another. To return to our united roots and reinstate ourselves as a unified Jewish people, we thus need to elevate our original values of unification and mutual responsibility to the center of our common discourse. Then the question becomes, what would make us want to reunite as a single nation once again? Why is that even important? Similar to how anti-Semitism once goaded many of us to establish what we now know as the State of Israel, today, as we bear witness to a sharp rise of anti-Semitic sentiment, both directly against Jews and also indirectly disguised as delegitimization of Israel, in many countries, and notably in the United States, we increasingly find ourselves cornered into a situation where we will have to elevate unification and mutual responsibility to top priority for the sake of our very survival. Understanding unification and mutual responsibility as our leading values, based on laws of nature that we once discovered under Abraham, prepares us for our current and future challenges. With such an understanding, we can strengthen bonds that span across people, groups, factions, ages and genders, and aim to unite everyone, without exception, above all of our differences. And when we're united above our differences, we will supply a special unifying strength to all people to unite above their differences. This is the meaning of our being called a light unto the nations. By engaging in this venture to build a new harmonious society based on unification and mutual responsibility, we will be able to take big steps toward realizing our destiny that our forefathers dreamed of, to become Jewish in the fullest sense of the term. The Hebrew word for Jew, Yehudi, comes from the word for united, Yehudi, Yarodevash, part 2, Drush number 2. Moreover, By realizing such a vision, we will serve as a model for a perfect society of happy and successful individuals who share life's most important values of love and connection. As a result, the world will absorb the unifying atmosphere that we project, and anti-Semitism in all of its forms will subside. Today, the means are available and becoming all the more needed in order to rise above the intensifying social division and realize a whole new positive and harmonious direction for society. In essence, the positive transformation starts with elevating the values of unification and mutual responsibility to the center of our common discourse. Benefits of oral communication. Question: In the process of communication, researchers say about 80% of the information is distorted because everyone understands it in their own way. Are there any methods to avoid distorting it? Answer: This is possible only if we rise above egoism and try to perceive information in the same way others do. Question: Why did the ancient sages pass information verbally? After all, later it was very much distorted. Answer: No, this is not true. On the contrary, it is necessary to voice it. The sages transmitted information verbally because by doing so they forced their students to get closer to them, to enter them, to be as one common whole. When the so-called descent of generations occurred and students no longer questioned how to connect and adhere to their teacher, they began to perceive information through the mind, and not through common feelings. Therefore, they started recording it. Then records, tape recorders, and other recording tools appeared. The habit of recording came not from the development of technology but from the fact that we have become dumber in our feelings. From CAB TV's Management Skills, July 24, 2020. How to escape hatred. Remark: Sometimes I have a feeling that reality is much more sensual, stronger than any movie, any scenario. I will now read the letter that is addressed to you. Dear Michael Leitman, my name is Stanislav. I listen to your programs and don't miss any of them. And it's all thanks to my wife. I lived in perfect harmony with her for 28 years. We had no children, so we adopted a son. We raised him. Loved him very much, especially my wife, who adored him. During the coronavirus, we were very careful. My wife and I were able to work from home and listen to your programs. We agreed with you. But our son took it as a challenge. He went outside, didn't wear a mask, laughed at us. We couldn't explain anything to him, he wouldn't listen. As a result, he infected us. I went through this illness easily. My wife was very ill. She died 2 months ago. I can't look at my son. I hate him. I understand that it's impossible to bring my wife back, and I don't want to live with this hatred for my son, especially since he feels guilty. I see it. But I can't help myself. I look at him, avert my eyes, and try not to yell at him. There is no love inside me, no love at all. How do I get it back? What to do? How can I forgive him? I don't know. Help me. I just feel what hell is inside a person. My comment: He must understand that all this comes only from the highest degree, from the highest decision, and therefore the son is absolutely not to blame. Remark: I'm afraid it's hard for a person in this state to hear. My comment: Never mind. He needs to hear it because it will save him from hatred after all. And hate is the worst thing. Remark: He feels the hatred eating away at him. He wants to escape it and can't. My comment: Therefore, he can be told it all comes from above, and therefore none of us are to blame for anything, except for one thing: that we do not admit our mistakes. We must learn from them. Learn what the Creator reveals. Question: What is his mistake now? Answer: He should say to himself, enough. He must raise the thought to the level of action. He can't go on like this, it's not right. He burns himself and everything around him. Question: Have you ever had a state where you hate it so much that everything just burns? Answer, yes, until realizing that this is not right. Question, so one needs to feel it? What's my first thought? Answer, there is none else besides him. I must attribute all this to the Creator, whatever it is. There, at his level, are all the solutions. Absolutely everything. About this poor woman and her son, and the Holocaust, and murders, and all the terrible things that happen in our world. Everything is at the highest degree. You have to go up there, and then you will see that everything is the opposite. It turns out that this is not some kind of supreme cruelty, this is the highest mercy. Question, so this is not a punishment, but mercy? Answer, yes. It's impossible to imagine all this. We should start hearing this slowly now, later we will realize it. Question, is this given to a person to the extent that he can endure? Answer, bearing is not a big deal. It's like you give him painkillers and he endures everything. It is not necessary to bear at this level, but when he sees and understands the entire creation from beginning to end and can justify it on the part of the Creator. To the extent that he is equivalent to the Creator, he can justify everything that happens. Absolutely everything. Otherwise, we will engage in self-criticism. How many people reproach themselves for everything they have done in life? Remark, look at how much hate there is in the world. The world is built on hate. My comment, in fact, we will see that this is not hatred, but love. The opposite is true. There is no need to continue to cultivate hatred. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Lateman, July 27, 2020. Teaching and role playing. Question, while teaching the wisdom of Kabbalah, you devote 90% of your time to giving lectures and answering questions, less time to workshops, and you do not use role-playing at all. Why? Answer, in principle, I studied only by receiving materials and asking questions. There were almost no workshops. I probably continue the methodology of my teacher in this way. Besides, it is quite difficult to introduce something new in my condition. Remark, but you could conduct workshops, role-playing games, and analyze some cases. Let's say something happened in one of the tens. You could take some standard general example, use this example to teach everyone else, and then everyone would remember that. My comment, maybe you are right, but I am not used to it. I am a dinosaur, and it is already hard for me to change something. I have not seen such a state in the spiritual world and such examples in it that would be similar to role-playing. Question. Maybe this is not suitable for studying Kabbalah. But can this be applied for integral teaching? Answer, anything can be applied, drawings, movies, music videos, etc. I do not disagree with anything. Question, is there a difference in our insight when we listen to a lesson recorded or live? Answer, there is a difference. Listening to lectures live brings one insight, recorded brings another one. And through some other sources, a third. From CAB TV's Management Skills, July 24, 2020. To become one nation. Baal HaSulam, the nation, these loose ties, language, religion, and history, are important values, and no one denies their national merit. However, they are still completely insufficient to rely on as a basis for the independent sustenance of a nation. In the end, all we have here is a gathering of strangers, descendants of cultures of 70 nations, each building a stage for oneself, one's spirit, and one's leanings. There is no elemental thing here that unites us, all from within into a single mass. To this day, we have failed to build a country, a nation, or a society. The world does not understand it. And the Jews themselves, those living in Israel, see it as strange. All values based on language, religion, and history do not reach their hearts because they do not touch the foundation of the Jewish people, the foundation of the land of Israel. Therefore, the land rejects everything that does not correspond to its spiritual root. Thus, the people of Israel will have no choice but to accept the true laws of nature of this land, that is, the laws of bestowal, love, and relationship above our egoism. And then, we will begin to really feel that we live on our own land, create our own society and state. Only in this case, will everyone start to accept and approve of us, correctly. Remark, if you had said this a year ago, you probably would have had to convince people that there is a strong division in the nation. But now there appears to be such discord between the right and the left that we cannot even choose the head of government. And this conflict is only growing every year. My comment, in general, we live in a very interesting period of history when we begin to understand that we have no other choice but to create a nation and a state according to the laws of our nature, our common soul. After all, our roots come from a broken soul, the so-called soul of Adam. And so, until we start to restore it, to connect all the fragments together, we will not be able to create anything. Question: are you talking about some kind of emotional relationship between people? Answer: yes. There is nothing else. We must create the right connections between us, and then we will become a nation. When by restoring the connection we understand how to build a state, we will be able to create it. Everything must begin with the search for how to become properly united as one nation. From CAPTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, November 25, 2019. Annul yourself before the teacher. Question: there are methods that affect the comprehension of information. It is said that when we listen to a lecture, we perceive about 5% of the general information that is quickly forgotten during the day. When reading, we absorb 10%, through listening 30%, through video minus 50%. We perceive 70% through role-playing games, seminars, round tables, and 90% when we teach someone else. Do you agree with this? Answer: this is usually the case in our egoistic world. And if one tries to enter the teacher and connect with him in spite of our egoism, then the perception will be 100%. Only it will be different in the scope of his internal capabilities, the so-called soul, different from the soul of his teacher. The student must annul before the teacher, allow him to enter into himself, and then he will perceive 100% of the information. Very little depends on the teacher. It all depends on the student. The spiritual teacher allows everyone to enter into him, and no one disturbs him. As it is said, the Ahup of the lower connects to the Galgal Dianaim of the upper. From CAPTV's Management Skills, July 24, 2020.